morning, Julie.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're super excited to be back chatting with you again. After the last time we chatted, Mark and I were just buzzing with excitement.
We had so many conversations.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Okay. So this is a great topic. Mm-hmm. And when we were chatting about KYD 55, this was one of the topics that we wanted to include. This is like information we like to include just on the channel, mm-hmm. not even relating to nutrition or exercise, but just maybe even like travel or spouses. And that is communication tips with your workout partner.
Yes. How do you have a solid foundation of communication so that you can have positive outcomes with the people you want to be with, travel with, but today, the people you're working out with, eating well with, and doing all the pillars of KYD with.
Right, right. Yep. So that's super important because I think if you're not communicating well, there's all kinds of feelings that start to erode or bubble up if you're not on the same page. So making sure you're on the same page with whoever that is, whether it's a spouse, a sister, a friend, a child, it changes everything if you can figure out how to get on the same page and communicate clearly.
Totally.
Yeah, and not having the right communication can make it feel like it can maybe almost, I could see self-sabotage and say, well, this is dumb. I don't even want to do this anyway. And really you might just be fighting an emotion because of maybe a feeling that you're having toward someone you're working out with or family, and it just makes it even harder.
Yes.
So we can make this even easier through some key, you know, tactical, actionable tips.
So we're going to dive into those actionable tips. You have three, we have two. One of the things we want
Trish
to start with,
though, I have one.
Right out of the gate is reading and understanding the fact that we all have different personalities. Maybe you're attracted to your spouse because you're opposites. Maybe you're the same, but really understanding how personality traits, really understanding how personality traits communicate with one another is imperative.
Yes.
And so some of the things that we've read before that I found helpful, Personality Plus, it's a book, it's from a long time ago, mm-hmm. but something much more recent is The Four Tendencies. And what I love about that book is it defines a personality type, but it overlaps into some other areas because none of us are black and white.
No, we're not.
Then it says, how do you communicate with this person? How do you incentivize? And what do you stay away from?
Right.
So on just understanding yourself and then understanding your partner is so big.
Does it make sense real quick to just go through maybe some of the things we're going to talk about in this webinar? And we can kind of dive in.
Yes. Okay. So for right.
Julie, what?
Julie, yes.
Your three things that you sent over to us.
Okay. So my three things, let's see. How to hold each other accountable, mm-hmm. which I think is really important, and what works for you. So when you're trying to hold someone accountable and what you want. So we're gonna talk about that a little bit. We're gonna talk about meal planning and prepping together. So how we can create a good plan and work together. Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about understanding your partner's motivation, how they like to be held accountable, and then kind of picking a topic or a focus for the week so that you're both on the same page and operating under the same expectations.
I love it.
I love it.
And you're two.
Okay. So one of ours is we talk about big fears. And so we'll dive into that. Big fears. Just keep that in mind. And then ownership, the conversation. How do you have a conversation where it's we instead of you need to do this
Charlie?
Or I'm going to do that? And when you're working in a team, like keeping that language around we. And I know that sometimes when you say something to someone like, oh yeah, Trish and I did XYZ, it makes me feel good because I did play a role in a certain portion of something that we did together. So allowing your partner to come in and be involved in just the simple ways you say things is actually really, it opens me up to want to participate more.
And I only have one, and so I'm just going to let that. We're going to wait because
yours
is a surprise.
Yeah, yes. It'd be a surprise because you know when you only have very little, you can't just you know just write it from the beginning.
Okay. You can't spill.
Yeah, you can't spill the beans right from the beginning. Okay.
So this is what you deal with all the time, Trish.
Yes.
Surprises.
Surprises. Surprise.
Okay, so I think the first topic was meal planning, which I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's start there.
So I think when you are in a zone of resetting or getting in alignment with your health, doing some meal planning is really important, or at least planning snacks or general idea of what plan you're going to abide by, what you're trying to avoid. And then making sure the, if you're eating with that person, do they like what you are wanting to eat? Because all of a sudden, if you're planning, you know, butternut squash and Brussels sprouts, and they hate that, you're setting yourself up for failure, and you're setting up this kind of resentment that they're not getting to eat what they want to eat. And so coming up and brainstorming a meal plan or things that work for both people. If you're doing it with someone that is far away, maybe you can share recipes and share your plan on paper or text a picture of your plan to each other so that you can say, oh, that's a great idea. How did that taste? I love that. Or if you're doing it with a friend that is close by, doing some planning and then meal prepping on Sunday and cutting up vegetables, maybe pre-assembling meals that you just throw in the freezer. So all you have to do is take them out and throw them on the grill or throw them in a crock pot are wonderful because it saves a lot of time during the week. So I think there are great ideas that you can collaborate with your partner, whoever that may be, in setting yourself up for success during the week.
I love that. I love that because when we were having some of our friends test out the program, Krista, my girlfriend, would send me pictures. I'm eating this. Mm. I want to eat this. She'd take a picture and she'd say, but I'm eating this. And you know that someone else is doing it out there. And most personality types are inclusive of the fact that you don't want to let someone down.
Right.
So, and if you can see that they're taking their steps, most, not all.
Most. Trisha's.
Yes, yes.
Trisha's.
So you don't want to let somebody down. And so you're just like, oh, and then you have this reminder that someone else out there is doing the same thing you are. And you get ideas from what they're doing. So I know one of her main things was she loves different kinds of creamers in her breakfast coffee.
Okay.
And so I'm not a creamer or sugar person. I'm a straight black, love it that way, as strong as possible. But I know that about her. So when I'm at the grocery store, I'm like, oh, look at this new one. Or look at this. This one has collagen in it. And she's like, wow, okay, thanks. So you're sending a clear message that you're thinking about someone and you're trying to help them be successful. So you can't have a long distance, you know, relationship where you're helping each other.
Well, you can these days with text messaging and texting photos, right?
Yeah.
Sure, for sure. You know, I think even with my mom and my sister, we're thousands of miles apart and we'll text back and forth, or she'll tell me she found this great recipe to try and she knows it's right in line with how I am choosing to eat, right? So, and I think the other thing is that we can easily get into a rut about how we resource meals, our cookbooks that we go to, our websites that are normal for us, and you kind of get in this little pigeonhole over here. But if you start to brainstorm with somebody else, they might go in a totally different direction and find these amazing recipes that open up all kinds of ideas for you. And so sharing those things can be really beneficial.
I love it. On that note, we were with Jerry and Zane, who's Charlie's parents.
Yes.
And initial parents. And so when we were over at their house, Jerry made a whole milk, what do you do?
Whipped cream.
Well, she turned it into whipped cream, but it's just whole milk. And so she used whole milk.
She used it with cream, but
That's right. And with blueberries. And the blueberries and cream was delicious. And it really felt like we were having a really refreshing ice cream type treat. But it was, you know, at the time for us being on keto, it was great.
It's amazing, it was right? Yeah.
And we've done that a couple times since.
I know. And, you know, going back to things like that, I had something similar. Ian's parents took us to Europe many years ago, and we met some old family friends, and they prepared a traditional English meal in their garden, and they had strawberries and cream. And before that, I never would have thought strawberries and cream. So, you know, like I said, just exploring those new ideas and how you can incorporate taste and flavors and fill in the gaps of what you're missing. So
now I will say, when we were not doing KYD55 mm-hmm. and we weren't sugar free, mm-hmm. Trish added a little bit of Canadian maple syrup into the cream, and wow.
Ooh, yes.
Anyhow. That was probably amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, but it still feels fresh and it still feels good. And I know in this program, you wrote a piece on quality foods. And I think a lot of it has to do with, and this is a little bit off topic, a lot of it has to do with training our brain to realize that, hey, there are foods that may not be, we may not think are good for us, but they actually are, because they're actual whole foods.
Correct. Yeah.
Rather than having something where the package says it's 50% less of something, is probably not as good for you because the package says it's good for you. So out of the gate, it can't be that good.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't made in your kitchen.
Right. And I think going back to the basics of how our grandma ate, and thinking about basic foods, the less number of ingredients on the package, the better. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't an ingredient list, that's the best, right? An avocado is an avocado, an apple is an apple, doesn't need any explanation.
Yes.
So working through that and partnering with people. And I think the other thing that can be interesting is to come up with mini challenges with each other. So for instance, if you're in the produce department and you see some different type of produce that you don't eat, let's say a jackfruit or a star fruit or, you know, something along those lines, to take a picture and challenge the other person to A, get it, and B, both come up with ways to prepare it or eat it.
Yes.
See what you think. So there's all different kinds of ways you can work with a partner on that and brainstorm.
I love it. And I just also wanted to represent what you said initially about getting on a plan with some preparation with your partner when you first get started, because I think there'd be nothing more frustrating for any partner to come home with things that the other partner says, well, I don't want to eat that, and have the other person feel like they wasted their money, or they're pushing a rope, or they're
that's a good visual,
or they're, you know, they're just kind of in on this on them by themselves and then have resentment. So I think in advance saying, hey, I'm going to go to the store. We're both doing KYD55. What are some things that we can get? And then they can look on, even in the KYD55 under the quality food section, and they can start maybe print that out and say, let's cross out things you just will never want me to get on this list.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And that everything else is fair game.
Yes.
Right.
We have some money.
Well, the other thing is, and we learned this a long time ago, is just like you're saying, prepare Sunday night for either most of the week or all of the week. I don't know. We've never made it to 7 days. The max I could ever pre-prepare was for 5 days. Mm-hmm. And so, but have kind of chunks. So have your meat all in 4 ounce bags, have lettuce pre-washed and ready to go, have sliced veggies. And so then you make your own little whatever you want. And so if one person is going extreme and they're like, I don't even do dressing, I do olive oil and a squirt of lemon. And the other person is like, you can have fun over there. I have ranch dressing, okay? So, but you can still take all those pre-made things and make your own little plate. So you have the components, but you don't have to eat exactly the same.
Exactly. And when you have those components and you have things that are individually packaged, even if you're both doing KYD55, but one is more extreme right now than the other, maybe this person is really dealing with sugary drinks, right? Soda, monster drinks, sugar in their coffee, whatever the case might be. And this is what they're trying to tackle. But this person is, I'm like 90% vegan, clean, going all the way detox. You can have veggies and a protein, but maybe this person does have a half a baked potato. And so you just have a couple things that you can fill in over here where you're both still paralleling and enjoying a very similar meal. And it's not a lot of extra work because you're not preparing multiple meals. Yeah. You're just having an add-in over here because this person is a little bit different place than this person.
Totally.
So one quick point before I think you go on your one topic, one of two topics.
Okay.
And that is KYD55 personal trainer Robbie, when we were working out with him and Trish was preparing for her show, his rule was very simple. Buy the food, prepare the food, make the food, and eat the food. And it sounds silly almost. But anytime there's a breakdown
in those three steps
in our nutrition, we go back and we said, we're eating this, because
we didn't buy the food.
We didn't buy it. Or we bought it, but we didn't make it.
Uh-huh.
Or we forgot it at home.
Or right. We forgot to eat it. I mean, it sounds silly, but when you remember, wait, I have to buy the food, make the food, eat the food.
Right. And, you know, I think that comes back to the importance of meal planning and being able to adhere to a budget and keep things in line for yourself, because eating healthy, you may make some different choices. There's great ways to minimize that. One is to go to farmers markets to buy what's in season. Another great option is to buy frozen. Frozen vegetables are amazing. The thing about frozen vegetables, especially if you can find frozen organic vegetables, which is like the coup de grace, right? But they're harvested at their peak. So they're harvested, flash frozen, and sent to the freezer. A lot of times our fresh produce, if it's not a local farmer's market, travels hundreds, even over 1,000 miles from where it's picked, and it's picked prior to ripening on the vine, and it's ripens in olden cars and refrigerators and things of that nature. And so it's not getting possibly as much nutrient value as the stuff that was picked at its optimum ripeness and then frozen right away. Wow. So you can save a lot of money by thinking ahead, planning a little bit, buying frozen, and that helps you save some money. So you don't always have to go to the fresh produce department to get the biggest bang for your buck and get the most nutrition out of your food.
Amazing.
Love it.
That's so cool. All right. I know I've heard this, but it just to get that refresher, because I really don't go down that frozen aisle.
No.
I need to.
Yeah.
You do.
It's easier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shakes and things.
Yes.
Because how many times do people not have a plan? They go wandering through the produce department, grab stuff thinking they're going to do something with it, but they don't have a recipe, they don't have a plan. And all of a sudden, 6 days later, they're in the refrigerator, it's spoiled, and they throw it away. And so then it's just a waste of money.
Right. Well, and a core philosophy for our life has been, if you don't have a plan, you fall into someone else's plan. Someone else's plan usually is wrapped in a lot of research and marketing and psychology. Yeah. And that's why the most expensive, highest margin, worst for you things are on the end caps of the grocery store, because that's their plan.
That's their plan.
So if you don't have a plan, you're probably going to be like,
oh,
and
I need Lego shaped Jell-O.
I need Lego shaped Jell-O. We saw that yesterday. We saw that yesterday. Lego shaped Jell-O. And I go, they're geniuses.
Every kid wants this.
They're geniuses.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
All right, so, Trish, you're
okay. Up. Well, we're going to dive right into the deep end here, okay? We are going to talk about fears. And one of the things that Mark and I do that I really like is when we're tackling something new, not just food or exercise, but really a new business idea or anything, we go, what are our biggest fears? And by talking about our biggest fears, it actually does something that's totally different, which is it gets rid of the biggest fears. So it's a little counterintuitive. You think, I don't want to talk about that. But if you talk about it, you shine the light on it, and then it usually goes away. So we always say, like, well, my biggest fear about that, and it's really casual too. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm bringing in this baggage and let me slowly unwrap it and it's torment. It's just like, oh my gosh, well, my biggest fear is if we go in this, you're going to lose a bunch of weight in the beginning. I'm not going to lose a weight until like halfway through. And then you're going to be like, well, are you doing X, Y, and Z? Well, Mark doesn't do that to me, but
you're just giving an example.
But I'm giving an example. And, or like my biggest fear is that I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to walk around and I'm not going to have anything to do. And then your partner just got clued into how you feel when you walk in the door at the gym. So, but figure out what the emotion is behind your roadblock, because we all come up against walls. So, and then just go, this is not the real problem. What's the fear behind it? Talk about the fear. Come up with a solution. It keeps you in solution-based mode. It engages your partner, and it erases things that will ultimately come out in different ways. Like you might start picking on your partner, like when they're like, come on, let's get ready for the gym. Why do you always have to be like on me? When really you're nervous about going because you don't know what to do when you get there.
Right. So I think one of the biggest factors that can play into that from the other person is active listening.
Ooh.
So many times when we're communicating or sharing something, the other person is already switched on in their head what they're going to say, how they're going to respond, and they already are, they're not even hearing what you're saying. And so taking a step back and really practice active listening, look at somebody in the eye, breathe, And then, you know, practicing the pause, wait, and really hear what they're saying, reframe it back to them and ask, I hear you saying you're really nervous about going to the gym. How can I help? And bringing that together all of a sudden brings you, like you said, into alignment instead of this. But if the other person's not actively listening and you're sharing a fear or you're sharing something else, you're going to go around in circles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think from a psychology perspective, I think everybody shares the same need to be understood. And so when you're expressing yourself, especially with a fear, being vulnerable, being transparent, and then someone is not really engaging with that or dismissing it, that's where sometimes some of the angst comes in and the partnership isn't as fun or effective as it could be. So great.
Absolutely. And I also think in doing that, it's really important, which kind of goes back to one of the points that I had brought up about accountability, is telling somebody what you need. And because sometimes all you need to do is share and vent. You don't need a fix. You don't need a solution. All you need is somebody to listen to you and, to your point, Mark, be heard and understood. Whereas sometimes you need help. You're like, this weekend we've got some stuff going on in our house, our life. Like, we just had painting done and everything's kind of a mess. And I'm spinning my wheels and getting stressed out about this clutter and chaos. And usually Ian just lets me figure it all out. And I said, I'm paralyzed. I need help. I need you to help me find a solution this time, not just listen to me, you know, spew on and on. And so when you actually tell somebody what you need, I need to be heard, I need to vent, or I need help brainstorming a solution, it changes the framework of the conversation.
Well, I think though the key here, and it goes back to our previous topic, it doesn't have the same emotion if it's done in advance. It's a much different situation when you are up against the roadblock and then...
And you're in freak out mode mentally.
And now the way that it's going, so when you're in advance, to Trisha's point, you know, my biggest fear is that we're going to get to this point and that this and this is going to happen and it's going to erode my ability to keep going. When it's in advance, it's you don't have the emotion. And that's why often, even when we have dips in our being, we don't talk about solutions when we're going through the dip. Mm-mm. We wait till, you know, we have dinner and maybe sleep and the next day say, hey, can we go back and talk about yesterday? Because in the moment, sometimes it's like the worst time to talk about it. And so either talking about it after or talking about it long before, I think might help. In fact, that might be a good segue to my one thing.
Ooh,
okay.
It's so early.
So, well, I think this is along the right time.
I'm ready.
Here's my one strategy. I keep my mouth shut. It took me a long time to learn that if I do not have something positive and constructive to say, I'm not going to say anything. And Trish might say, what are you thinking? I'm like, nothing. I mean, look, it takes a tremendous amount of discipline. I think for everybody, maybe especially men, but it depends, to just not say anything. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, even in business, this has served me well. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I think, my gosh, what I was going to say yesterday was so wrong. Or it would have, you know, I would have been embarrassed because I didn't know all the information. Or it would have sent someone else down the wrong path. And so I just don't say anything until I have a plan or until I have the right words or until it's the right time.
And I think some of that, it comes from practicing and comes from wisdom of having tried it and done it or not done it and learning what happens. I was just in this frenzy of the house, I found some old cards from our wedding 20 years ago. And there was one in it, and a couple that has been close to the family for a long time, that was his exact point is, you know, learn when to shut your mouth or just say yes, dear, was his.
Shockingly, there are a lot of opportunities to keep your mouth shut.
There are.
Almost more opportunities than to open your mouth, quite frankly.
So we were with a family and they have this saying inside the family and it's called
EGR,
extra grace required. And so when they're talking to someone outside the family, and it might be like kind of a stressful interaction, or maybe they're just like, whoa, they'll kind of turn to each other and they'll just be like, hey, EGR, extra grace required. So, and I think that it is good. Sometimes we have to be quiet so that we don't stumble over ourselves or create a problem. But also sometimes people just need a little grace, because when you're going through something that you've never done before or is totally outside of your wheelhouse, you're stumbling, you're learning new things. It doesn't look good. It's not perfect. Maybe the results aren't coming fast enough. And you're just like, the words coming out of your mouth may just need to like float and go away. Mm-hmm. And the other person doesn't need to react. So, yeah, you know, extra grace required.
Well, isn't that really what we're talking about, is being responsive instead of reactive?
Yeah.
And so, and I think we've learned that. I think I actually think a couple things learned that. I think our being full time has learned that there's a lot of opportunities to react, especially backing a trailer when you're new or mm-hmm. breaking an awning in New York, hypothetically speaking, and you can react. And I think the camera has helped us be even more on point to respond.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm documenting this. I mean, you don't want to document yourself being like out of control. But then after 4 years of making videos, it has just become, all right, here's the situation. What are we going to do? But
you got to deliver the facts. Yeah. So, anyway,
all right. So that's
that was good.
No, well, you know, you only got one thing.
That is good. And, you know, back to that wisdom piece, and sometimes taking a pause gives you that clarity and that hindsight. Like you said, you go back and talk about it the next day. I have a friend that always says, don't respond, sit on your hands. She says, yeah, just sit on your hands. Uh-huh. Just shut up for a minute and sit on your hands before you have that feeling of insert foot in mouth, because
So now you just reminded me of another key component to this. If we are going to go back and have a conversation with our partner and or spouse or workout partner, mm-hmm. the next day, we should probably ask for permission to, before having that conversation, because yeah. the other person may not be quite ready, even after they might have had lunch and dinner and slept on it. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's always important to ask for permission, because that turns it from criticism to feedback or into a question. So, you know, hey, can we, you know, I have some ideas on some ways that we can improve what happened yesterday. Can we talk about that now? Have your partner say one more day or yeah, I'm ready. But asking for permission for anything is, I think, a key component.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. We're making progress here.
We're making progress. I think going back to understanding personalities is really key in that, though, because I have another girlfriend who's doing KYD 55, and I may have mentioned this before, but she texts and she says, because this is her personality, she's an A-type nurse, all or nothing, 100% kind of person. And she's like, I had a beer and some chocolate covered almonds. I'm out. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And I'm like, no, you're not. Get back on the bus. It's beer and almonds under the bridge. I'll talk to you tomorrow. But yeah. I know that that's her personality. She just needs to be, whereas someone else might need to like, oh, you know, whatever.
Someone else may feel like that response is not being heard, not being understood. And I don't need to be guilted into the program.
Yeah. Whereas, I have a history with her, yes, and I know that that's her personality type.
Yeah.
And right. So, and she was like, thank you. I needed that. Boom. It was over.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is a perfect segue into one of the points I had on my list, is to figure out how the person you're working with or partnering with wants to be held accountable, mm-hmm. which plays a lot into personality types, right? Mm-hmm. But if they respond better from cheerleading and positive reinforcement, or have a great day today, I came up with this recipe, I'm going to do this, you're doing great. Or do they want somebody to say, beer and almonds, under the bridge, move on? Like, yes. You know, I mean, what is it that's going to be helpful for you and to you so that you can best collaborate with that person versus butting heads? Because like you just said, Mark, if you give that feedback too early and that person's not ready, or you're giving the wrong kind of feedback,
yeah,
understanding what their motivation is and how they respond can be really key in being able to work together on that.
So there is a tool that of a book that Trisha read called The Four Tendencies.
Yes, that's...
We both read it. I think mm-hmm. it's a great time to talk about it because we really enjoyed this book. And there's a lot of various types of...
It's kind of like a reference book. You don't have to read it from beginning to end. You can read the first chapter, which kind of dissects the personality types. And you're like, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go straight to chapter 10.
But so, the really interesting thing about this book, and Trish read it first, and then I had to read it.
Yeah.
Is
because I was laughing out loud because I'm like, Mark, who does this sound like? Yeah. And I read a page. Yeah. He's like, how does that book know me?
Yeah. So it's basically the four tendencies are how do we respond to external expectations and how do we respond to internal expectations? Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, Trish, her personality type is that she would respond very well to exterior, outside expectations mm-hmm. and would not necessarily be as concerned with internal expectations. Okay. The example.
Well, I would prioritize them over myself.
Yes. So if you ask Trish to do something to like, you know, can you pick me up at the airport at 3 a.m, 100% yes. Even if she had a meeting at 6 a.m, because that's her thing, she would do it. I respond very little to outside expectations and I would question other expectations if that's even proper.
Yeah.
And I would adhere to my internal expectations. Yes. And so if somebody were to ask me to pick them up at the airport at 3 a.m, I'd be like, heard of Uber? Like, no way. I had a meeting at 7 a.m. So, but that plays a key part in how we respond to like programs like this.
Yes.
Trish, if someone you're doing it with a partner, mm-hmm. you don't want to let that partner down. Mm-mm. I'm not as concerned about that. I'm more concerned about internal expectations in terms of my reasons for doing about this. But I think,
what am I going to get out of it at the end? So when you're communicating with your partner, if you kind of know their personality type, you can paint that awesome picture at the end. What is it going to look like when you finish? If they're that kind of person, or you're like, hey, you're my partner. We're working on this together.
Yeah.
If that's the way they communicate in the moment or the picture in the end.
The book was really enlightening, and I encourage everybody to read it as it relates to this program because it sheds a lot of light on why we do what we do from these expectations put on us. And I think it could be helpful.
Yeah. Well, and I think to piggyback on the expectations piece is, you know, expectations can either fuel us or create a lot of disappointment and heartache. And so when we go back to planning and accountability and starting the program is to communicate expectations and to not assume things. My mom says, you might have to bleep this out. My mom says, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, right? Yeah. So
I said that to Caleb the other day. He's like,
I never heard of
it. So, you know, when you do that, if you're making assumptions that are poor, you don't set expectations in the beginning. It's just going to set everyone up for disappointment, frustration, miscommunication, et cetera. So I think it's really good to get those out in front.
Awesome.
Very cool.
All right, what's left?
So one of the things that I like, because you and I work mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. we travel, we're mm-hmm. raising a family, we're doing everything all together.
Yeah.
And I do like that you use we. Now, other people might want ownership and just say, I'm doing the program. But if you do have a partner that enjoys knowing that you guys are on a team together, really paying attention to the little language that you're using where you're taking ownership of it together. So I just know that when we're working on projects and Mark is talking to someone else and he's like, oh yeah, Trish and I and we and whatever, I feel like I'm a team member.
Yeah.
If he were to say, oh, I'm doing this thing called KYD 55, I'd be like, what the heck? I'm over here too. I'm the one making the meals.
Yeah, for sure.
So so anyway, he's aware of that and I appreciate that. So, but I know for him, he doesn't care what I say because he's not, I'm assuming, which is bad.
We're also paranoid.
I know. Am I doing it right? No, you're doing it wrong.
You're all wrong. Just so wrong.
So wrong.
Just be quiet.
Just be quiet. So anyway, but no, I know that for you, maybe those things are just not as a high priority. But for me, I listen to things like that. So it might be personality, it might just be me. But anyway, I appreciate when the little things are paid attention to. So understanding that is helpful.
That's a huge thing. Because it incorporates everybody, it goes back to our last conversation about going to the grocery store together and doing things together can change the whole paradigm. So setting yourself up for success in that way, which brings me to the last point that I think I wanted to hit on was setting yourself up and having a focus or a keyword for the week or a that you're both on point. And so maybe this week it's greens and we're both focusing on greens, different ways we can prepare greens. What can we buy green? What sale did we find on greens? What recipes, right? Like green, wear green. It's almost St. Patrick's Day. So maybe that's your key word for the week. And so you're both in alignment on that. And it's easy to piggyback on that and focus on something that's fun and inventive and easy to lean into so that you're not beating each other up or you're falling into some of those negative habits. You're always coming back to this one focus. So maybe it's green, maybe it's water. Maybe this particular week it might have to do with exercise or movement, but to come up with a word that you're always back to, whether it's just consistency or mindfulness or chewing. We're gonna make sure we chew our food enough or whatever it is.
Well, that's crazy you should even mention that because I eat crazy fast, like crazy fast. And the problem with that is I go back for a second serving before I even know I've eaten. And so my portions sometimes are not realistic.
Out of whack.
It finally occurred to me that I would actually eat slower if I chewed longer.
Yes.
Like that's an actual something you could do to physically eat slower, because eating slower is trying like to, is trying like to talk slow.
So that's such a good point. And that's on one of the things I wrote up was to chew, breathe between bites, actually practice.
I don't breathe at all when I eat, Julie.
set your fork down in between bites.
This is over.
Talk to the person sitting across the table from you.
What a novel idea.
You eat with people?
Like standing up?
I stand, and who uses forks?
All of those things, though, chewing, breathing, pausing, talking, that all slows down your eating. Yeah. And so you can acknowledge when you're satisfied or full. It also helps you appreciate the flavors. The other thing it does, it actually helps the digestion process, because the more you chew, digestion actually starts in the mouth, you know, the saliva, all that business. The more you chew, the more it actually helps smooth digestion versus swallowing huge clumps of food that now have to be digested down here instead of being broken up.
It could have been done. Yes.
It's crazy. You know, I think, you know, you could listen to this webinar 5 times at 5 different stages of your nutritional growth journey and get something out of it. Because for me, like, that was the most impactful thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so for someone else, it could be something that they had not heard of that they've been struggling with. And I had found, like, if you read a great book, sometimes I'll go back 5 years later and I'll read that same book and it'll be a completely different book based upon what's going on in our life. And so I think the same is true for a video call like this. So, you know, for those that are participating in the program, maybe come back later and listen to things again, and you'll probably get something out of it because you would have maybe mastered something and you'd be moving more.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
And I also like what you just said, having a focus for every week, because it keeps the program in its entirety fresh. There's something new happening all the time and you're discovering what it is and what your needs are, because these are just guidelines and helpful tools. Then you can personalize it with your workout partner.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And it might help you face a fear or a challenge that you have together. So, you know, maybe you hate vegetables. Maybe going out for a run scares the bejesus out of you. But if you're doing it with someone and somebody's supporting you and you know that that's the focus for the week and I'm going to have help in tackling this, it brings us to a place of confidence. It brings us to a place of courage. It brings us to a place of commitment. And so you can move through that easier.
Well, you know, we mentioned when we were in Wisconsin, Hayward, at the Lumberjack Festival, that we did the 5K. And we mentioned that afterwards because we were just buzzing with energy, because 5Ks have a tremendous amount of energy. there's loud music and people and the finish line and the clock. There's a lot going on. And so maybe even, you know, someone saying, find a partner and say, hey, let's go walk this 5K. You know, I don't think a lot of people go out and walk a 5K on their own, but if they had a partner, they'd have a blast walking 3.4 miles
yes.
and feel the buzz of that energy and say, let's sign up for another one, because it is, it's addictive to be exciting. In an environment. I mean, it was fun for, I mean, like that dude who won ran it in like 15 minutes. He ran a 5K in 15 minutes, you know, of course,
man.
With a bean pole with little tiny running pants, you know what I mean? And so it's just fun to be around that. I mean, yeah. I have no desire to go do that fast.
And there were four of our family members all together, and we all had our own race.
Yeah.
So we were doing something together, yet we got our own needs met.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we met at the end.
Which makes it contagious, you know, and success breeds success. So if you have that focus and it goes really well this week, then you're excited and that excitement carries and it's contagious back and forth between people.
This is awesome. Well, I love these conversations. And so we need to keep having conversations like this.
So knowing each other's personality types, figuring out how we want to be motivated by one another, creating something that we can do together when it comes to meal planning, preparation, focus on something new every week, whether it's a food, whether it's based in an emotion, whether it's, you know, it could be greens or it could be focus.
Mm-hmm.
It could be either one of those things.
Going and preparing, not only preparing the food in advance, but then also preparing how we are feeling in advance.
Yes. Talking about our big fears. Like, what do you think your roadblock is going to be? Find out what that emotion is, narrow it down, and weed it out.
Yes.
Because then you're not, you know, under the stress, because it can be stressful trying something new, going outside of your comfort zone. You don't need to be dealing with every emotion all at one time. Spread those puppies out.
Well, and then that reminds me of the book, which we absolutely love and is a great book to read when you're going through a program like this. And that is David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me.
Oh my gosh.
And David Goggins, you know, the short version is he was like 300 pounds and he became a Navy SEAL. And now he's an ultra marathon runner. But what he says in his book is, no, you know, when things get hard, and they will get hard, mm-hmm. the brain starts to betray you. And you ask yourself this very simple question when it gets hard. And that is, why am I doing this? You know, I think all of us are sitting, when it gets really hard, you say, why
am I? It's this escape door that opens in your brain. And if you don't have a reason, you will run through that door so fast.
Yeah.
So he says,
have your reason why you're doing this in front of you at all times, so that when your brain starts to betray you and it says, why am I doing this? You can answer the question like that and keep moving.
Right. What I liked too is that he's so hardcore. Mm-hmm. I mean, so hardcore that I was like, I could just have a little baby Goggins, like right here, just trash, shut up and keep going. That's what he would say, right? But he would use a lot worse words.
Yes.
And so when I was running that 5K, because I cannot stand running, I was like, where's my baby Goggins?
Baby Goggins.
Me and baby Goggins.
I love it.
So anyway, just, you know, find those books that encourage and motivate you to get to the finish line.
Stay the course.
Yes, stay the course. Yep, absolutely. It's actually a lot of the work that I do with people one-on-one is coming up with that why and goal setting and then bringing people through that direction. Because if you don't know how to do that work, it can be really challenging. So either
I think it's also a
book or an outside.
It's a good time to mention that below, because you know this video is inside the course structure of KYD 55, but below this video is information to reach out to Julie for information if you're looking for even more support,
right?
And taking that next step and the accountability, and maybe even a nutritional plan that's designed directly for you. That is definitely an option,
right?
Absolutely. So this is a great conversation.
Yeah, no, we love talking to you, and it's great. And
we'll see you again.
Yeah, there'll be many more.
Wonderful.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.